tell you a couple of little feel-good stories. And the first one I think I'd like to put to you is a very wild night when we first arrived in Los Angeles with the Feelgoods, when we got signed up to CBS Records. And this is how the song Milk and Alcohol came around. Nick Lowe was with us. We'd played at the CBS convention after being signed up to CBS Records in San Diego. We drove back to Los Angeles, quite full of ourselves, all very jubilant. We've got a major American record deal, and we're all in the hotel drinking, and someone said, oh, John Lee Hooker's playing at the Starwood tonight, Santa Monica Boulevard. So we loaded into the two hire cars and drove down. We're going to see this rock legend, John Lee Hooker. The show, I have to say, was very, very limp that night. He was in fairly bad form and he seemed pissed off. And I think he sacked his drummer halfway through the set. It just not going particularly well. But because of the drinking earlier and the boozing at the club, by now we are 11:30 at night, fairly pissed. We're into the hire cars, driving back to the Sunset Strip Hotel where we were staying, and all of a sudden the blue lights are flashing. And we pull over the side of the road, two LAPD police cars, straight out, shooters. Okay, boys, everybody against the wall. Now, we're from Canby Island. We are not used to be treated by our Dixon and Doc Green policeman in this fashion. So, gentlemen, what is the problem? And he said, okay, drive your license. I said, well, I'm terribly sorry, I don't have it with me. It's at the hotel. And again, in England, we have 5 days to produce our documents. I really don't know what your problem is. Don't get funny with me. Everybody up against the wall. So we're thinking this guy's a little bit edgy now. So there's Nick Lowe, Sparko, Lee, myself. And we are kind of under arrest. I am unawares to me, a certain tour manager that we had on board then, a Mr. Jake Riviera that went on to be Elvis Costello's manager, and Nick Lowe. Nick Lowe was with us. Had left an ounce of block hashish in the glove compartment. So the cops are rummaging around, but they use their tricks very carefully. They make everyone look the other way while they're going to their business. They're very professional at their job, these LA policemen. So he said, okay, drive a step forward. Yes, officer, can I help you? He's immediately twisted around. And he's put the bracelets on so tight I can remember the pain of this. He said, in the back. Right, so he's in the back of the police car like this. He said, okay, I'm arresting you for possession of hashish. I thought, well, I haven't got any, right? So then I kind of put two and two together. So he's briefed Lee and the other guys. It's right, go and get this guy's passport. Go and get this guy's driving license. Bring it to West Hollywood Police Station. This guy is under arrest. Moi. So we make it to the police station. I won't go through the gruesome details of the ongoing search, but needless to say, they were thorough. And now, I'm thinking this is 1975. This is California. This is the most liberated place when it comes to recreational drugs on the planet. It's not a lot of dope. And I've heard that if it's just a bag of grass, you get $100 fine and you get slapped on the wrist and told to never do it again. So I'm figuring, optimistically, this is the way this is going to go. And I'm seeing this young cop that had arrested me, and now he didn't look quite so threatening under the lights and all the bits and pieces, frantically on the telephone. So I'm saying, it is, it's hashish. And all of a sudden, he screamed, he went, yes, this is going to help me get my sergeant stripes. It's a felony. So I said to the officer that was taking my thing, I said, what is a felony? He went, big trouble for you, my friend. What would have been a misdemeanor is $100 fine and you walk out the police station. A felony is $10,000 bail to appear at Supreme Court to then get extradited, to then get deported, never to come back to America. We just signed an American record deal. This was not good business. So sudden, Lee's turned up and he said, right, we've got a bondsman. I never knew what a bondsman was. This is the man that puts for 10% of your $10,000 bail, he puts the money up, takes your passport to make sure you attend court, whenever court is. So I'm thinking, oh God, our careers for America are in ruin. So I've come out, telephoned to our record company guy, explained it. He said, what? Right. So he gets me a lawyer. What are we going to do about this? He said, well, you're very lucky, because this is California. Now, this is what you do. You go to court, you offer to go on a drug rehabilitation course. Now, what's entailed in this is that you have to attend 26 drug lectures, all between 7 and 10 o'clock at night, so that fucks your evening right up. You attend the 26 lectures, you get a graduation certificate, then you take that to the probation department, you're on probation for 6 months, but you can travel, it's not a problem, you can leave the country. You make another court appearance, and then the case is dropped. You were arrested, but never charged. This is a no-brainer, this is what we've got to do. The other option is that if I go to court, I'm definitely going to get charged for this offence that I didn't commit, but that's not the point. So I attended all the drug lectures, which I have to say was very, very interesting, because the whole emphasis on these drug lectures were to avoid people getting into Schedule A drugs. And everyone who was in the class was there for smoking grass in a car or in a park or something like this. And it was a very interesting experience, but we'll jump to that. So I've concluded the 26 lectures. I moved into a house in Laurel Canyon. I had quite an interesting LA experience, the band were all touring, so we worked around it. Joined up after I got my graduation certificate with the probation office, that were very friendly, very helpful. I just filled a form in once a month wherever I was, back on Canvey, sent it to LA, easy peasy. Then I have to make a court appearance. So I fly from London to Los Angeles to appear in court at the Beverly Hills Courthouse. This is quite fun. It's better than South End Magistrates, where I've been before, right? But I'm also in Court 9B, which is a real small court down the bottom, and the three or four cases that are ahead of me are all driving offences. And the guy that was up before me, the judge was there, and he had his name there, Judge Wise, which was a very interesting name for a judge. And the guy that was before me was up on a speeding offence. And the judge heard this guy's case and turned around to the guy and said, well, sir, he said, up to now, your driving record has been considerably better than my own. But on this one occasion, you just blew it. So $50 and 2 points on your licence. So I'm next. My lawyer stood up and said, hello, sir, my client has come here today from London, England. He has attended the Dana course for drug rehabilitation, and he's here to present himself to you at the court today after concluding his 6 months probation. The judge looked at me. He said, excuse me, sir, did you fly here from London, England today to appear in my court? I said, yes, sir. Most honourable of you, Mr. Fenwick, case dismissed. But we had a lot of milk and alcohol that night. And if I'd have got caught for drinking and driving, which I was actually guilty of, the consequences would have been somewhat more severe.